Osho, Tao, The Three Treasures, Volume 2, Talks on Fragments from Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 5.
Bhagwan, on the qualities of the Taoist, Lao Tse says, when the highest type of men hear the Tao, truth, they try hard to live in accordance with it. When the mediocre type hear the Tao, they seem to be aware and yet unaware of it. When the lowest type hear the Tao, they break into loud laughter. If it were not laughed at, it would not be Tao. Therefore, there is the established saying, who understands Tao seems dull of comprehension. Who is advanced in Tao seems to slip backwards. Who moves on the even Tao path seems to go up and down. Superior character appears like a hollow valley. Sheer white appears like tarnished. Great character appears like insufficient. Solid character appears like infirm. Pure worth appears like contaminated.
The greatest myth that I have come across is that of mankind. There exists nothing like that. There are as many mankinds as there are men. It is not one kind. Every man is so different from every other that the humanity does not exist. It is just a word, an abstraction. You appear to be similar, but you are not. And that myth has to be thrown away. Only then you can penetrate deeper into the reality of man. No old psychology ever believed that humanity exists. In fact, if we are going to classify, all the ancient psychologists classify man in 3 divisions. In India, we have divided humanity in 3 parts: sattva, rajas, tamas. Lao Tse has not given the names, but he also divides humanity in 3 kinds, exactly the same. These 3 divisions are also arbitrary. We have to classify to understand. Otherwise, there are as many mankinds as there are men. Every man is a world in himself. But this classification helps to understand many things which will be impossible to understand without it. So try to understand the classification as clearly as possible. When the highest type of men hear the Tao, truth, they try hard to live in accordance with it. When the mediocre type hear the Tao, they seem to be aware and yet unaware of it. When the lowest type hear the Tao, they break into loud laughter. If it were not laughed at, it would not be Tao. First is sattva, second is rajas, third is tamas. The highest type of man, when he hears about Tao, suddenly feels in tune with it. It is not an intellectual understanding for him. His total being vibrates in a new sound. A new music is heard. When he hears about truth, suddenly something fits in. He is no more the same. Just by hearing, he becomes totally a different type of man. Not that he has to bring his intellect to understand it, because that will be delaying understanding. The highest type of man understands immediately, no time gap. If he hears about truth, just the very hearing of the truth, and he has understood. Not that he has brought his intelligence to understand it, no, that will be postponing. His total being understands it, not only the intellect part, not only his soul, not only his mind, but even his body vibrates in a new unknown way. A new dance has entered into his being. Now he can never be the same. Once he has heard about the truth, he can never be the old again. A new journey has started. Now nothing can be done. He has to move. He has heard about light and he has been living in darkness. Now, unless he achieves, there will be no rest for him. He will become deeply discontented. He has heard that a different type of existence is possible. Now, unless he reaches this, attains it, he cannot be at ease. He cannot be at home anywhere. Wherever he will be, the constant call from the unknown will be knocking at the door continuously. Waking, he will hear it. Sleeping, he will hear it. Dreaming, and the knock will be there, he will hear it. Eating, he will hear it. Walking, he will hear it. In the shop, in the market, he will hear it. It will be continuously a haunting phenomena. Just by hearing, Mahavir has said that there are two types of people, and Jains have not understood it at all. A very revolutionary thought, completely lost by misunderstanding. He has said there are two types of people. One, who become muktas, who become liberated just by hearing. They are called sravakas. The word sravak means who has heard. And just by hearing is transformed. Then there is a second type who cannot become liberated just by hearing. They have to practice it. They are sadhus. Now a great misunderstanding exists. The sravak has to bow down before the sadhu. In fact, just the opposite should be the case. Because the sravak is a greater soul. Just by hearing, he has attained. And the sadhu has to practice. Just by hearing, he could not attain. His perceptivity is not so keen. His sensitivity is dull. He is not a first-rate mind. A second-rate mind, a mediocre mind. And this you can watch. If you go and look at the sadhus of Jains, you can immediately feel they are dull. Something of the intelligence lacking. a thing which can be understood immediately, they are taking for years to practice about it. Their perception is not total. They are going the hard way because they don't have the intelligence to choose the most easiest, direct, straight way, simple, spontaneous. They are doing thousands and one things to attain that which can be attained with a perceptive mind immediately without doing anything. In fact, a man who becomes aware just by hearing has a greater quality of consciousness than a man who has to work for it for years, do sadhana, practice this and that. He is a dullard, a mediocre mind. I have been observing thousands of people. I have met all types of people, but sadhus have always appeared to me a little dull, and I was always worried what is the matter. Why they look a little dull, a little mediocre? Their intelligence is not of the highest quality. And then by and by I understood the reason is this: they could not attain to it just by hearing. They don't have that intelligence. That's why Krishnamurti goes on saying there is no need to do anything. In fact, for the first-rate mind, there is no need to do anything. Just by hearing, by right listening, one attains. But where to find the first-rate mind? It is very rare. Unless the Krishnamurti comes to listen to Krishnamurti, it won't happen. But why a Krishnamurti should go to listen to a Krishnamurti? It is absurd. It has no meaning. A man who has that kind of perceptivity can become awakened just by listening to the song of a bird, just by listening to the breeze passing through the trees, just by listening the sound of the waters flowing. That's enough. Because from everywhere the divine speaks. Whatsoever you hear, you have heard the divine, if you are perceptive. Nothing else exists. All sounds are His. All message is His. Everywhere is His signature. For the first-rate mind, the path is not a path at all. He simply enters into the temple without any path. There is no need for any bridge. Lao Tzu says, when the highest type of men hear the Tao, immediate perception, immediate understanding, just by hearing, just by looking at the master who has attained, just by hearing his words, or just by hearing his breathing, silent, peaceful, sitting by his side, he understands. Once they understand, then they are not trying to attain truth. Then they are simply trying to refine their mechanism. They have understood the truth, that it exists. They have heard about it. Hindus call their scriptures Srutis. The word Sruti means that which has been heard. All the scriptures are that which has been heard. Once a man of the first rate intelligence hears truth, he understands it. Once it happened, a Sufi master suddenly called his one of the disciples. Many disciples were sitting in the hall. He called only one that come near to me, and he was standing near the window. It was full moon night. All the disciples watched in wonder why he has called one. And then the old man indicated something outside the window to the young man and said, "Look." And from that day, that young man changed completely. Others asked, "What has happened?" Because there was nothing we know, only full moon night. Full moon was there, of course, night was beautiful, of course. But what has happened seems to be just out of proportion. You are completely transformed. What has happened? The young man said, "I heard the master. And I was so silent because he has called me. I was so without thoughts, so peaceful, that when he indicated the moon, something opened inside me, a window. I had a perception which I had never had. I looked at the moon with new eyes. I looked at the moonlight with a new being. Of course, I have seen the view from the very far away state of my mind. And I will have to hard to reach it. But now I know it exists. Now I know it is a certainty. Now there is no doubt. I will have to go to that state because I have looked through the eyes of the master. Those eyes are not mine. He gave me for a single moment. I borrowed them. I have looked through his being. It is not my being. That window is not mine. That was his window. He allowed me to look through it. But now I know a different type of existence is possible. Not only possible, it is absolutely certain. Now it may take many lives for me to reach that goal. But the goal is certain. No doubt exists in me now. Now doubt cannot disturb. Now my journey is clear. When the highest type of man hears the Tao, truth, they try hard to live in accordance with it. They hear, they understand, then they try hard to live in accordance with it. They have looked through the window of the master. They have become certain. Now it is an absolute fact. It is not a philosophy, not a metaphysics. It is existential. They have felt it. They have known it. But they will have to go a long way, so that the same perception becomes their own. They have heard truth, they have understood it, but they will have to move a long way so that the truth becomes their being. The highest type try hard to live in accordance with it, not that by living in accordance with it and trying hard, one achieves it. No. Just by trying hard, nobody achieves it. But by trying hard, by and by one comes to feel that the effort itself in the final stages of the transformation is a barrier. By trying hard, one comes to know that even trying hard is a barrier. One drops it. Because when you are trying hard to live in accordance with Tao, that life cannot be a spontaneous life. It can be only a forced phenomena, disciplined, not a freedom. It will become like a bondage. And by trying hard, no one can achieve that which is already there. But by trying hard, one achieves to this understanding that even effort is a barrier, a very subtle barrier, because all efforts are of the ego. Even the desire to achieve truth comes from the ego. One drops that too. But remember, one can drop effort only when one has done the effort to its utmost. You cannot say, if that's the case, then I should drop it from the very beginning. Why do it? You will miss the whole point. That's what is happening to those who has been listening to Krishnamurti. He says whatsoever he is saying is perfectly true, that no effort is needed. It is right, but it is right only for those who have been doing the effort with their total being very hard. It is true only for those. They can drop it. To become artlessly artful is not possible for those who have not moved through any discipline. Finally, an artist has to become completely oblivious of his art. He should forget whatsoever he has learned, but you can forget only that which you have learned. If an artist remains an artist, effortful, then his art is not perfect. In Zen, they use many methods to teach people meditation. They use art also, painting, calligraphy, and other things. A student will learn painting for 10 years, 12 years, unless he becomes absolutely technical. Not even a single error in the technology of the art. When he becomes perfectly technical, then the master says, now you drop it. For 2-3 years you completely forget. Throw your brushes. Forget anything that you know about painting. And when you have forgotten it completely, then come to me. 2, 3, 4, 5, sometimes even more time is needed to forget. It is very difficult. Difficult first to learn a thing. Then more difficult when you have learned it to unlearn it. And the second part is very, very essential, fundamental. Otherwise you will be a technician, not an artist. It is said, it happened, that a great archer trained his disciple to the very perfection of archery. And then he told him, now you forget everything about it. For 20 years, the disciple used to come and go to the master, but the master will not say anything. So the disciple has to wait patiently. By and by he completely forgot everything about archery. 20 years is a long time. He had become almost as old as the master. One day he came, and when we entered the master's room, he saw a bow, and he could not recognize what it is. The master came near him, embraced the disciple, and said, "Now you have become a perfect archer. You have forgotten even the bow. Now just go out and just look at the flying birds, and just the idea that they should drop and they will drop." And the archer went out. He couldn't believe it. He looked at the birds flying. Almost a dozen birds, and they fell immediately on the ground. The master says, "Now no more to do it. I was just showing you, when one forgets the technique, then only one becomes perfect. Now the bow and arrow is not needed. That is needed only for amateurs. A perfect painter does not need the brush and the canvas. A perfect musician does not need the sitar or the violin or the guitar. No. That is for the amateur. I have come across a very old musician. He is dead now. He was 110 years old. Ravi Shankar is his disciple. He could create music with anything whatsoever. He will be passing and he will find two rocks and he can create music by two rocks. He will find a piece of iron and he will start playing with it, and you can hear beautiful music you have never heard. This was a musician. Now, even his touch is musical. If he touches you, you will see that he has touched the innermost instrument of your inner harmony and music. Suddenly you will start vibrating. When anything becomes perfect, the effort that you have put to learn it has to be forgotten. Otherwise, the very effort remains heavy on the head. So it is not that they try hard to live in accordance with it that they achieve it. No, they try hard to live in accordance with it, then by and by they start understanding that to live in accordance with nature, no effort is needed. It is like floating in the water, but anybody cannot float. First you have to learn swimming. Don't go to the river, otherwise you will be drowned. You have to learn swimming. And when a swimmer becomes perfect, he need not swim. He can just be in the river floating. As if he is lying in his bed, he can lie in the river. Now he has learned how to be in accordance with the river. Now the river cannot drown him. Now he has no more enmity with the river. In fact, he no more exists separate from the river. A perfect swimmer becomes part of the river. He is a wave in the river. How can the river destroy the wave? Now he floats in accordance with the river. He is no more there fighting, resisting, doing something. He is in tune with the river. Then he can simply float. But don't try it unless you know swimming. Otherwise you will be drowned. The same happens with Tao. You do hard effort to live in accordance with the truth, then by and by you understand that your hard effort helps a little but hinders a lot. That it is not a fight with nature. To live in accordance is to be in a let go. To live in accordance with nature is to be one with the nature. There is no need to struggle. Effort is a struggle. Effort is you are trying to do something according to you. Science is effort. Religion is effortlessness. Science is violence with nature. That's why scientists continuously talk in terms of conflict, conquering. Even a man like Bertrand Russell, of such great intelligence, has written a book about nature being conquered by science. The conquest of nature. It is a fight. As if the nature is your enemy and you have to dominate it. Science is a deep politics with nature, a deep war, enmity. Religion is not a fight at all. In fact, it is to understand that you are part of nature. How can the part fight with the whole? And if the part tries to fight with the whole and then becomes anxiety-ridden, what is wrong in it? It is natural. If the part tries to fight with the whole, if my hand tries to fight with my whole body, the hand will go ill. Because how the hand can fight with the body? The body supplies the blood. The body supplies the nourishment. How can you fight with the body? The hand fighting with the body, it is foolish. Man fighting with nature is foolish. You can live only in accordance with nature. Religion is a surrender. Science is a war. Science strengthens the ego. And the whole problem for religion is how to drop the ego. Through effort it cannot be dropped. So remember this. When the highest type of men hear the Tao, truth, they try hard to live in accordance with it. That is their first standpoint. Once they understand, they hear and they feel, they taste, they feel the affinity with it. And they start hard effort to live accordingly. But by and by, as they grow in it, they start understanding that effort is not needed, rather effortlessness. Finally, they drop effort and become one with nature. Then they are no more part of humanity, they become superhuman. Then they are no more part of the struggling humanity. They are no more struggling. They appear like men, but they are no more men. When you come across like a man like Lao Tse, he is not a man. When you come across Buddha, he is not a man. That's why we have called such people avatars. Just just to make a distinction from ordinary humanity, we have called Jesus Son of God. Not that he is not Son of Man, he is Son of Man. But we have to make a distinction. If we call Jesus man, then what we will call the ordinary humanity? Then we will have to find something subhuman for the ordinary humanity. To call ourselves human, we have to call Jesus superhuman. We have to call Buddha a avatar, a Krishna a god. These are just symbolic gestures to show that even the first type of man, the man of sattva, transcends when he drops all effort and moves in accordance with nature. Somebody asked Lao Tse, how you attained? He said, I was sitting under a tree and I had done all that can be done, all that is humanly possible. And I was completely frustrated. Much has happened through it, but not all. Something was lacking and missing. And the missing link was the most difficult and elusive. Then I was sitting under a tree, and a dry leaf fell from the tree. Slowly. And moved in the wind. The wind was going north, the leaf moved north, then the wind changed its course, it started moving towards south, it started moving towards south. The wind stopped, the leaf fell down on the earth with not a single complaint, with no struggle on its own part, no direction of its own. If the wind was going south, it was going south. If the wind was going north, it was going north. If the wind stopped, it fell down on the earth and rested beautifully. Then again there was wind, and again it rose high in the sky. But there was no problem. Suddenly I understood. The message hit home. From that day I became a dry leaf. And the missing link, which was so elusive, was no more elusive. The missing link was only this, that you can attain many things through effort, but you cannot attain Tao through effort. Finally, you have to leave effort. Suddenly, everything fits. You are in accordance. Then you don't give direction. Then you are no more a director. Then you don't say to the winds, go south, because I am on the journey towards south. Then you don't have any destination. Then the destiny of the whole is your destiny. Then you are not separate. Then you don't think in terms of individuality. You have become part of the whole. Wherever the whole is going, you are going. If the whole changes the mind, you change the mind. If the whole stops the journey, it is beautiful. If the whole runs, you run with it. That's what in accordance means. Not a bit of mind of your own. You have become a no mind. Now the whole lives through you, moves through you, moves you, lives you. Now you don't breathe. The whole breathes you. Then everything is a benediction, a blessing. How can you be tense then? Worried for what? All worries exist because you have brought an individual destiny in your mind against the destiny of the whole. You are moving up current. This is the whole secret of your failure. You are moving up current. Then you are worried, tense, in anguish, anxiety. almost going mad. Anybody will go mad if you are moving up current. The fight is so hard and so meaningless. And one day you will feel tired. And then it will look like a frustration, a failure. The wise man leaves this up current nonsense. He simply allows the river to take him wheresoever it is going. If it is going anywhere, good. If it is not going anywhere, good. Then suddenly you are still silent. Only then the real meditation happens, never before it, when all effort is dropped. But you have to do the effort first, otherwise you will never understand that it has to be dropped. You can drop it only if you have been in it. And from the very beginning, it is almost impossible for you to be so wise to drop it. How can you drop a thing which you don't have? When the highest type of man hear Tao, the dry heart, to live in accordance with it, when the mediocre type hear the Tao, the people of Rajas, they seem to be aware and yet unaware of it. That's what is the mediocre mind is. A little aware, a little understanding, and a little ununderstanding, a little part lighted, and a little part in darkness, divided. To be divided is to be mediocre. To be divided against yourself is to be mediocre, because it dissipates your energy. It can never allow you to be an overflowing, celebrating existence. How can, if you are trying to create a fight between your right and left hand, how can you be happy? The very fight will kill you. And there is going to be no result out of it, because how the left can win or the right can win, both hands are yours. Any type of inner conflict makes you mediocre. And those who teach you to be divided are your enemies. They say this is bad and that is good. Immediately division enters. They say this is lower, that is higher. Immediately division enters. They say this is sin and that is virtue. Immediately division enters. You are split. The whole humanity is schizophrenic. And everybody has become mediocre. To be one is to be blissful. To be divided is to be in misery. To be one is to be in heaven. To be divided is to be in hell. More divided, greater will be the hell. And you are just a crowd, not only two, many. Psychologists say man has become polypsychic. He has not one mind, he has many mind now. In small matters also you have many minds. To eat this or to eat that. Sitting in a restaurant looking at the menu, you are polypsychic. Whether to order for this or for that. As if you have lost all possibilities of decision, of being decisive. Because only one can be decisive who is one, a unit. How can you be decisive? One wise says this, another wise immediately contradicts and says that. One wise says go to the east, another says go to the west. You are pulled against yourself. In so many directions, your whole life will be just a sad failure, a long, long tale of frustration and nothing else. A tale told by an idiot, full of fury and noise, signifying nothing. Significance is possible only when there is a unison within. The highest type of man can attain unity. The lowest type also has a certain type of unity, but the mediocre is in the greatest danger, the middler. You can see wise persons like Buddha or Lao Tse in unity. A bliss surrounds them. They move surrounded by a subtle ecstasy. If you look at them, you can see they are drunk with the divine. They walk on the earth, but they are not here. But the same type of glimpse, sometimes you can feel around an idiot also, a stupid man, absolutely stupid. A certain innocence surrounds him. He laughs. And you can have a glimpse of the saint in the idiot. Because he is also one. He is not a saint. He has not attained anything. But at least he is not divided. A saint has gone beyond mind, an idiot is below mind. In one thing they are equal, that is, they both don't have any minds. Vast differences are there, but one similarity is also there. So if you don't understand, sometimes a saint can look like an idiot, and sometimes in your ignorance you can worship an idiot for a saint. I have come across many idiots being worshipped. They have a certain quality. At least they are one. They don't have many minds. They don't have mind at all. They have no thoughts. I lived in a town for many years. Just near that town there was a saint, very famous. People used to come from all over India. And he was a perfect idiot. But he had a certain beauty around him. No anxiety. No problems. Few problems would have existed for him. But because people started worshipping him, even those problems were not there. People will bring food and everything for him. So even that problem was not there. They made a beautiful house for him. So no problem for the idiot existed. And he was absolutely idiotic. If you watched him, you could see that he doesn't understand a thing. His half body was almost paralyzed. It happens to idiotic persons many times. They are not even capable to manage their own bodies. He will defecate wherever he was sitting. But people will think that he is a Paramhans, a great soul who has attained to such height where no difference exists. He will defecate, and in the same place he will start eating things. No difference. But I went to see that man many times. I watched him very closely. He was absolutely idiotic. He could not utter a single word. But people thought he has taken silence, a vow of silence for his whole life. There was no glimmer in his eyes of any alertness, but a similarity. People have been deceived many times. Of course, idiots can't deceive you. It is on your own gullibility. You are deceived by your own self. And many times it has happened that very, very rare souls have been thought to be idiotic. Because there again, you see that something like the idiot is happening. Idiot is one. The superhuman being is one. And then there is the middle part, which is the greatest part in the world. You will be surprised to know about a finding scientists have done, and that is that humanity exists almost 98% people are mediocre. 1% are the geniuses and 1% are the idiots. It seems there is a certain balance. 1% idiots, 1% geniuses, and 98% humanity just in the middle. The greatest part of humanity is mediocre. The mediocre part, says Lao Tse, seems to be aware and yet unaware of it. If you talk about truth, the mediocre mind understands it intellectually, but does not understand it totally. He says, yes, I can understand what you are saying, but still I miss something. What do you mean? The word is heard, the meaning is lost. He finds that he can understand intellectually. He is an educated man. He may be a graduate, a PhD even. He understands whatsoever you are saying because he understands the language. But he feels that something is being lost. He understands the word, but the word is not the message. Message is something subtle. It can come with the word, but it is not the word. The word is like a flower, and the meaning is like the fragrance that surrounds it. If your nose is not functioning well, I can give you a flower, but I cannot give you the fragrance. If your mind is not functioning totally, I can give you the word, but I cannot give you the meaning. Because meaning has to be detected by you, decoded by you. I can give you the flower because that is nothing a problem. But how can I give you the fragrance if your nose is not functioning? If your nose is dead, insensitive, then nothing can be done. I can give you 1,001 flowers, but the fragrance will not happen. The mediocre mind understands the word, misses the meaning. He goes on listening to Tao. If there is a man, he has a certain attraction towards that man. He feels that there is something, a little aware. He suspects there is something, but he cannot be certain. He understands, and yet he understands not. Many people come to me, they say that whatsoever you say, we understand. but nothing happens. We have understood everything you have said. We have read your books many, many times. We have underlined almost every line, but nothing is happening. I can give you the flower, but how can I give you the fragrance? You have to cleanse your nose. You have to become more sensitive. And that is where meditation can be helpful. It makes you more sensitive, more alert. It pushes you towards the first type of man, the sattva. And by, you start feeling. Not only understanding, but you start feeling. When I say something about love, you understand the word, you understand what I am saying, but your heart doesn't respond. How can you understand something about love if your heart doesn't respond? A feeling is needed. I don't mean that you should become sentimental. No, sentimentality is not feeling. Sentimentality is the false coin. There are people who can weep and cry for nothing. And they think they are the feeling types. They are not. They are sentimental. Sentimentality is not feeling. Feeling is a very mature quality. Sentimentality is a very immature quality. A man of feeling will do something. A man of sentimentality will create even more trouble. For example, somebody is dead or somebody is ill. The man of feeling will rush to the hospital, will try to help the man who is dying, and the man of sentimentality will start crying and weeping. He will create more trouble for the dying man. He will not allow even for him to die in silence. Sentimentality is a chaos. Feeling is a very, very substantial growth. When I talk about love, if you have feeling, then not only your head understands, but your heart starts throbbing in a different way. Then the fragrance reaches you. Meditations can help you because they are cathartic. They will throw out all the dust and dirt that you have collected within you. That is stopping your sensitivity. All doors of perception are covered with dirt in you. You would like to see rightly, but there are so many suppressed tears, they won't allow you a clear eye. You would like to smell the flower, but you cannot, because the whole civilization has been suppressing the nose. You may not be aware about it. That is the most suppressed part of the body, the nose. Man has lost smell almost completely. Even horses, dogs are more sensitive than men. What has happened to man's nose? Why it has gone dead? There is a subtle mechanism working behind it. Because smell is deeply concerned and connected with sex. Have you seen animals smelling each other before they make love? They will never make love unless they smell. Because through smell they feel that their body energies meet or not. Whether they are for each other or not. That smelling is a feeler. A dog moves smells. If the female dog suits with his sense of feeling and sense of smell, only then he makes any effort. Otherwise, they move on their separate ways. He is not worried at all. Finished. That female dog is not for him, he is not for her. Smell is the most sexual sense in the body. And when civilization decided to suppress sex, automatically civilization decided to suppress smell also. Whenever a woman wants to make love, suddenly she starts throwing subtle smells around her. And that will be dangerous in a civilized world where sex is not accepted. You pass on the street and you are passing with your wife, and your wife, looking at some other man, starts throwing the smell, and you feel the smell immediately. Then the wife cannot deceive you. She cannot say that I had not even looked at that man. Your nose is completely closed. You don't smell. The wife himself cannot smell that her body is throwing a certain smell. Neither the man to whom she has become suddenly attracted smells her. Things are beautifully settled. No trouble arises. So if you really want that you should smell the flower also, not only the flower you should carry, but the smell also you should enjoy, then you will have to come to a more natural state of non-repressed sexuality. Otherwise, it will not be possible. And if your all the five senses are covered with dust and dirt and suppressed, it makes the mediocre mind then. Because mind is nothing but the collective reservoir of all the five senses. Then you are mediocre. Then you can go on learning more and more. You can go on becoming more and more scholarly, but you will remain a fool because you will not be alive. Have you watched the phenomena that pundits are the most dead people you can ever see? Professors, scholars are the most dead people. They don't see, they don't smell, they don't taste. They are almost dead. Their all senses are dead. Only their head functions alone, without any support from the body. If you cut their body, they will not be worried. Only don't disturb their head. They will be, on the contrary, very happy if the head can function without the body. Then they can go on and on in their scholarly trips, and no trouble from the body, no illness disturbs, no hunger disturbs. I have heard about Edison, a very intellectual giant, but completely dead in his senses. One day it happened that he was doing some mathematical work. His wife came to call him for the breakfast, but it was an order from him that if he is too much engaged, he should not be disturbed for such petty things. So she came and left the breakfast near him. So whenever his work is finished, he will look at the breakfast and he will eat. Then a friend came, and Edison continued involved in his work so much, and the friend also knew that he is not to be disturbed. So what to do? In the meanwhile, he found the breakfast, so he ate it. Pushed aside the things and waited. Then Edison looked at him, looked at the finished breakfast, and he said to the friend, "You came a little late. I have already finished the breakfast." A scholar does not know even his hunger. He lives in the head. Scholars are always mediocres. Perfect mediocres. And the problem for the mediocre is that he understands. That deceives him. Because he thinks he understands. Finished. And he doesn't understand a bit. He remains unaware. His understanding is only of the head, not of the total being. And unless understanding is of the total being, it is not understanding at all. Intellectual understanding is not understanding at all. It is a misnomer. When the mediocre type hear the Tao, they seem to be aware and yet unaware of it. When the lowest type hear the Tao, they break into loud laughter. The lowest type thinks this truth, Tao, is some sort of a joke. He is so profane, so shallow. Anything about the depth does not appeal him. And the laughter is a protection. When the shallow man, the lowest type, hears about truth, he laughs. He laughs that now you are going funny. He knows well that there is no truth at all. Nothing like truth exists. This is just an invention of cunning people to exploit other people. He laughs loudly. That laughter is a protection, because he is also afraid the thing may exist. Through laughter, he brushes it away. He throws it away. Through laughter, he is showing his derision, his condemnation. He is seeing the whole thing is nonsense. At the most, you can laugh at it and nothing else. You will come across the lowest type everywhere. If a lowest type sees a sannyasin, he will laugh that this man has gone mad. One more man lost to humanity, gone mad. If the lowest man sees you meditating, he will laugh. He will think that this man seems to be a little eccentric. What are you doing? Why wasting your time? The lowest man, if sometimes comes to me, he comes just to see other people meditating so he can laugh. And he can think very good about himself that he is not so mad or foolish as these people are. Says Lao Tse, if it were not laughed at, it would not be Tao. Lao Tse says, if the third type does not laugh when it hears about truth, it will not be truth. So this is a definite indication. Whenever truth is asserted, the lowest type will immediately laugh. It shows two things, certainly. One, that truth has been asserted, and second, that the third, the lowest man, has heard about it. Between truth and the third, the lowest, happens laughter. Between the mediocre and the truth happens an intellectual type of understanding. Between the first type and truth happens a deep understanding of his total being. His total being throbs with an unknown adventure. A door has opened. He's entering in a new world. For the second type of man, the door opens, but only in the mind. A thought door, not a real door, in which you cannot enter. At the most, you can philosophize about it. Think about it. The first type of man enters the door. The second type of man, at the most, thinks about it and goes on thinking. The third type of man does not even think. He laughs loudly and everything is finished at that. Then he forgets. The third type of man is the tamas. The third type of man, if he wants to reach truth, will have to become the second type. The second type will have to become the first type. Otherwise, there is no way. Therefore, there is the established saying, who understands Tao seems dull of comprehension. This third type and the second type, they are the greatest part of humanity. The first type is a rare flower. Because of this greatest part of humanity, the majority, who understands Tao seems dull of comprehension. A real man of understanding seems dull of comprehension to these people of the first and second type. Who is advanced in Tao seems to slip backwards. Who advances towards truth seems to slip backwards. People in the world will say, what are you doing? You were achieving so many things, now you are slipping back. You were just going to be made a cabinet minister, and what are you doing, taken sannyas? Falling back. You were just near the goal. You would have achieved great wealth and power and prestige. And what are you doing? Destroying your own life's work and effort, slipping back. Who is advanced in Tao seems to slip backwards. Who moves on the even Tao path seems to go up and down. To the greater majority, the man of truth is someone with whom something has gone wrong. Who is not normal? Who is abnormal? Jesus is abnormal. Lao Tse is abnormal. Krishna is abnormal. They don't fulfill the standard of the normality. If the vast humanity is normal, then of course Lao Tse is abnormal. If in the world first type of man existed, there will be no government, no need. It will be an anarchy. There will be no need to rule because people will live by their inner discipline. There will be no need for the courts and the police. In fact, no need to govern a man who understands. He lives in accordance with Tao. Because of the second type, in the world exists democracy. And because of the third type, in the world exists dictatorship. If the third type is too forceful, then any democracy will turn into dictatorship any time. Now in India this is happening right now. Jayaprakash is appealing the third type. His appeal is only for the third type. And he will condemn Indira if she becomes a dictator. But he will be the cause. Because he is provoking the third type, the lowest element in society. The gundas, the hooligans. He is provoking them. If they are provoked, then immediately any democracy has to become dictatorial. Because for the third type, only a dictatorship can maintain the order, otherwise not. A democracy is too good for them. Remember this. If the first type exists, then democracy will turn into an anarchist type of government automatically. That is the best world, where no government is needed, or almost no government. Just for small things, government is needed, otherwise not. For postal service, for railway, that for these things government is needed, because an organization is needed for efficiency. Otherwise, there is no need. With the lowest dictatorship, with the mediocre democracy. And whenever a country moves towards dictatorship, know well, now the third type of element has become active, which is dangerous. In fact, the first type of element should become more and more active. First type of element should exist more and more, so that even democracy is not needed. Superior character appears like hollow. It is not hollow. It is filled with infinite. But you cannot see the infinity. To you it seems empty. A man of divine character looks hollow. He has nothing. Because whatsoever you can count, he has not that. He has no bank balance. He has no power in this world. He is absolutely powerless. But you cannot see to his inner power that he has a glory totally different, of another kind and quality, that he has a light, riches, treasures. But to see them, you will have to become the first type. Even to have a glimpse of them, at least you will have to become the second type. For the third type, the man of Tao, is an empty vessel. He has nothing. Seer white appears like tarnished. He is so white that you cannot see it. Your eyes are trained only for tarnished things. Great character appears like insufficient. Solid character appears like infirm. Pure worth appears like contaminated. He is so pure. You cannot feel him, because you can feel only that which you have. The same can feel the same. I have heard about one Maharaja. He was a drunkard. The whole night he will see dances and prostitutes and indulge and drink. And by the morning, he will go to sleep. The whole day he will sleep. That was the rule, not the exception, for the Maharajas. One day, it happened that he was not feeling sleepy. It was just Brahma Muhurt. Early morning, the sun has not risen. He came out of his palace. It was rare. The guard in the garden had not ever seen him coming out, because by the morning was the time for him to go to sleep. But he was not feeling sleepy, so he came out. He smelled a strange smell around. He asked the god, what type of smell is this? This bad smell. From where this bad smell is coming? The god said, your honor, my lord, this bad smell is coming from the morning fresh air. A man who has lived only a knife light, surrounded by smoke, drinks, dirty and ugly women, does not know the smell of fresh air. It feels bad. If you live too much in dark, you become allergic to light. If you live too much in impurity, you become allergic to purity. Says Lao Tse, pure worth appears like contaminated. So don't be afraid if you appear mad to other people. Don't be afraid when you are meditating if you see others laughing. If they don't laugh, it won't be meditation at all. Don't be afraid of intellectuals who say that listen to everybody but do always your own. Don't be bothered by them. If you hear the truth, if you feel the truth, then take the risk and go on the greatest adventure, the adventure of truth, the adventure to seek God, the adventure to know oneself. Enough for today.